Welcome back to another episode of Toys on Tap. This week is another fire artist coming on, Mr. K Customs. You have probably seen his viral toy, the dead Mickey in the Mousetrap, and it is incredible to hear him talk about it and hear his journey through art. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. That helps it spread so that this podcast can take over the world. If you want even more, you can jump on all socials at Toys on Tap. You can jump on the YouTube at Toys on Tap. That's where you'll find unboxings and stuff like that. And if you want to support the show even more, you can jump on the Patreon and get some extra content at patreon.com/toysontap. That's where you get all the extra stuff that other people can't get, nitty gritty, all that good stuff. We've also got some cool stuff in the works, and I can't wait to show you. Also, get ready for Chum to drop. He is dropping so soon, thanks to Pocket Salsa and Toys on Tap partnering. Cannot wait for that to happen. Now let's get back to this episode of Toys on Tap. Dude, I'm so pumped to talk to you about your art.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I've been listening to the podcast for the last couple months now and really dig what you guys do.
Heck yeah. I mean, it's what we do, right? Like, you're in that whole community. It's crazy to start. I started this podcast and it was like how many people are actually in this scene? And yeah. I'm like 3 years into it and I still haven't hit the end yet, so...
That's great.
Yeah. So I'm pumped. We are here just for you today, though. We're not here for the pot. We're just here for you. And you've heard the other episodes, so you know what's coming. So we can get started. Please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do.
Yeah. So my name is Mark Kolaski. I'm a owner of Mr. K's Customs. I'm an artist, a sculptor, of variety of things, usually more towards the custom culture hot rod type vibe. So
yeah. So good. What's funny is like that's usually where you at, but the latest toy that you produced, definitely not around that.
No. Yeah, that was funny. So that was, you know, I do kind of go towards like the hot rod theme for some things, but yeah, not always. And it's just, you know, I have like a sketchbook that I'll sketch stuff down. And, you know, one day I just sketched, you know, and my sketches are horrible, but it was just, you know, Mickey Mouse in a trap, you know, probably not the most original thing, but I was like, it was fun. So they, last year. So yeah, it would probably been about this time last year that I originally came up with the idea, and they, decided to sculpt it out of clay. And then I had picked up a 3D scanner at the beginning of the year. So I was like, well, I'll try scanning it in, because, you know, mold making can get expensive sometimes. And I was like, at the time, I was only going to make like a couple. So I was like, just going to make a couple, sell them, you know, get a little bit of money for, yeah, you know, more art supplies. It's usually what it comes down to. So I put up a couple on the internet, did a video. One of the videos just took off, you know, and that created all the demand. So then, you know, I made 20, created a little web store, released them. They sold out in 2 minutes. And then, yeah, it was thankful for that. Then I created some pre-orders. And so, yeah, it's been, actually, I think I got one. This is one of the prototypes.
Oh, it's so good. The prototypes are always so fun to see.
Yeah. So that was the golden one. It's been good. And I got this is one of the original 3D prints.
Oh, that's so good.
I've been thankful for all the business, thankful for all the followers that, you know, it all of a sudden, you know, skyrocketed, you know, overnight. It was kind of surreal for a minute.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, then I've been building them nonstop for like the last 4 months. So shipped out the last orders on Monday.
So. Heck yeah. take me back a little bit. I mean, to sculpting and stuff, like art's a huge part of your life, it seems. And in classifying yourself as a sculptor means you've got the artistic, like you can do it. Like yeah. your hands work with whatever your brain's like, we need to sculpt this. So take me back to when that all started. If it was with you as a kid in art class, like take me all the way back there.
Yeah. So it was, I always, you know, as a kid, you know, enjoyed like doodling, sketching, building things. You know, it was, you know, I always did art classes. And then as I got older, I went more technical. So I was doing more, you know, engineering. You know, my background is in engineering. And so, you know, the art kind of took a, you know, it kind of died off by like middle school maybe. And then, you know, I was still building stuff through high school, you know, different, you know, gadgets, things like that. Was really into like robotics, RC cars. And then went to tech school for electronics, got my degrees, went out to California. So I'm Midwest based, grew up here, and then moved out to California into the Silicon Valley and started taking art classes again. Took some sculpting classes and was really interested more into industrial design. And it was kind of interesting. It was the one of the teachers, she was, you know, an artist, a sculptor. And she's like, you know, you're really talented, but she goes, you're just not going to make any money as an artist. You know, it's tough. It's a grind.
That's good,
you
know, to hear.
Stick. Yeah, I know. Right? Real motivating, right? Yeah. It's like, thanks for the push, you know? And, you know, and so it kind of took a step back, and then, you know, we had kids for a while. Well, we still have kids. It's not like we got rid of them, but so we had kids, and then I was doing stuff, you know, when they were, you know, for their birthdays, I was making pinatas, you know, making them out of cardboard and, you know, all kinds of things. We did, you know, Elmo, we did like R2-D2 and Ninja Turtles, you know, just, and they were rough, you know, because, you know, they were just going to get beat to hell. So they, so I did that for a while. And then probably about 7 years ago, I started making sculpting out of metal. So I did, my wife had actually got me, and I'm kind of all over the places, you're going to find out. They started sculpting out of metal. She got me a plasma cutter for Christmas.
Jeez.
I was doing a lot of metal work. I started doing signs, and that's when I was kind of, I was like, well, you know, I can at least help pay for the hobby, you know, because, you know, again, materials are expensive. And so, and we didn't have a whole lot of money at the time. So I was, you know, it was kind of cool. I could build stuff, sell it, you know, build something else. And so I was doing metalworking for a while. And then right around 2020, right before COVID, I was like, you know, it's really cool. I'm making these one-offs, but, you know, they take a lot of time, you know, to make them and, you know, to, you know, just to recoup any expenses was kind of difficult. So I was like, well, I'd like to still sculpt, but do it at a scale that's more affordable across, you know, the masses and, you know, not break the budget. And that's when I came across Craftsman. You know, it's so funny, you know, as I listen to all the previous podcasts, you always hear his name, you know, pop up here and there. And
yeah.
So I was watching his videos at like lunchtime during work, and I was like, oh man, this is really cool. So, you know, I picked up some Super Sculpey, you know, started messing around there. And then I was like, okay, this is, you know, we're getting, you know, getting closer. And then that's when, you know, I came across, you know, the casting and molding. And so I was like, okay. So then, you know, I picked up a brick of monster clay and started working on, you know, different characters. You know, when I first started back in the metal sculpting, I was doing like the anglerfish, and I was selling them as lamps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then I started. I was like, well, you know, maybe I'll still continue with the theme of anglerfish. So I had done.
Oh, I saw that sculpt. It was incredible.
Yeah. So this is like my zombie version.
Yeah.
So I was able to do the castings, and then it was just, you know, rinse and repeat, you know. So I would sit there and have a gang of like three molds, you know, cast up a whole bunch through the week. And then on the weekends, you know, clean them up, you know, prime them, paint them. And then just kind of doing that for a while. So did that, especially the anglerfish theme for a while. And then it was about 2 years ago, I kind of took a step away from it all. I was doing a lot of work. I was doing a lot of shows. So between my full-time job and doing all the shows, it was just, they got a little too much. And I transitioned into a new role. So about a year ago, year and a half ago, I kind of took a step away.
Meet Chum, the adorably deadly hammerhead shark creation from Pocket Salsa and Toys on Tap that has come from the depths to join your toy shelf.
Sharks! Hey, get out of the water! Shark!
He can be found in the wild later this year in several different blank colors, and in some cases, rarer painted versions of Chum can be found. This chubby little guy comes in at 4 inches tall with one point of articulation.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
He is the perfect mix of cute and deadly.
I am never going back in the water.
Don't miss out on your chance to capture one of these little guys before they're gone.
Really didn't touch anything for about a year. And then, the Mickey Mouse in a Trap was kind of like the first thing that I kind of just threw out there. Is just sell a couple pieces, just pay for some supplies, and then it kind of sucked me back into all of it again. So but not doing the shows as much. I do a couple local shows and that's about it. So it's been good. I've been blessed to have the opportunity to, you know, have the following and the people that support the business. So
yeah, I have so many questions. Many, because we go through so many different layers of art. So if you start at the beginning, you kind of take a break, and then you get a plasma cutter and start with metal. Yeah. So that is like, if we're talking expensive, we're already talking like that's so high on the list. Yeah. And then is this include like welding pieces together and that kind of stuff? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, I always joke. So, you know, I was born in the late 70s and we still had shop class, you know, so. But my school that I was going to, it was a progression. You went from wood shop, then to metal shop. Well, the year that I was going to be eligible for metal shop, they closed the programs.
Yeah.
And so I always kind of missed out on, you know, doing metalworking, you know, because we've done, you know, I was always fascinated with the ability to, you know, weld and, you know, form metal and, you know, plasma cut. And so, yeah, it became a little more affordable, you know, because especially with a lot of the, you know, like the Chinese import, you know, equipment. Now, obviously, it's not as good as, you know, some of the higher end stuff. But, you know, for somebody that was going to use it on the weekends, it worked out fine. I mean, I used it every weekend for like 3-4 years before it finally died.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah.
And that's crazy. I when I was a kid, there was this person that lived, relatively close to me, but they would make stuff out of metal and put it in their yard. And so it was like giant cowboys or giant whatever made out of rebar and all kinds of stuff. And I think it was like, as a kid, you're like, that's crazy. Like that, that was such a crazy thing. But as an adult, it's like, oh my God, like it took so much effort and time for you to be able to do that. And like, what a skill. And then somehow you get like the progression from that to, and making something as complex as an anglerfish, which that you have a metal anglerfish on your Instagram. That's incredible. But going from that to then working to clay is a big, like a big jump. How do you keep your brain like going in that when you're jumping to a whole nother medium?
So one of the things, you know, that I enjoy is just learning new skills. And that's kind of what drives me. So, you know, that's why I don't have, you know, like a consistent theme across a lot of stuff I do. It's usually driven by trying to learn like a new skill set, you know? So, you know, the, you know, and the, ironically, you know, the Mickey Mouse, the trap, you know, that was, you know, I have a 3D scanner now and I'd like to try it out, you know, because instead of trying to do a mold, I want to scan it, you know, run it through the 3D printer and, you know, just make a couple of them. So I'm usually drawn to learning new skill sets and just applying them to the art, you know. So the if you look, you know, the metal sculpting, you know, it's still, to me, it's just shapes, you know, shapes and, you know, patterns. And so it's just kind of duplicating that. And then, you know, switching to clay, it's almost, clay to me was, from a shaping standpoint, much easier, just because you're not trying to force a, you know, chunk of steel into a place that you want it. So it kind of gave you a little more freedom to, you know, try different things. And, you know, while my skills are, I consider, fairly rudimentary still, you know, compared to some of the greater sculptors out there. But, you know, it's, you know, it gives you the ability to continue to build. And so, and it's a lot cleaner too. You don't come out, you know, the garage looking like you were in a coal mine for 5 hours.
Yeah, and it takes up less space, which is cool, and it does all that. It's funny that you brought up Craftsman. Most of us, I mean, yeah, YouTube's gotten incredible over the years, in the last 20 years that it's been there. Most of us, when you first start, you're like trying to YouTube some kind of action figure, anything. And or try to like figure out some kind of like who's doing this. And Craftsman comes up 90% of the time.
I mean, it's just, between him and, who else was I watching a lot back then, was Asa Clay. You know, he was doing a lot of, he did a lot of stuff in like, you know, Super Sculpey. We always joke around. It's like, well, it's somewhere on YouTube. You can figure out how to do it. You know, it's pretty rare anymore that you can't find something on YouTube. You know, we've even gone as far as, you know, when we, you know, work on our cars, you know, you can sit there and be like, oh, how big of a job is this really going to be? And you pop on YouTube and sure enough, someone's posted, you know, some of the simplest stuff to, you know, complex things. So yeah, it's, I was, you know, telling my son, I was like, you know, this day and age with, you know, the access to, you know, all the information that's out there, you know, and just the tools and the equipment that's out there, you know, to be able to, you know, take, you know, an iPad, you know, I use Nomad Sculpt quite a bit for, you know, my digital sculpting. And to be able to go walk over, you know, across the room and plug it into a 3D printer, you know, smaller than a toaster, and, you know, and have something a couple hours later as a finished product is pretty, pretty amazing, you know.
It's crazy to see where it's gone and where it's headed. Because there was a point at which like 3D printing was so expensive and just outrageous, and now relatively inexpensive, can make and produce all the kinds of stuff that you want. And so it's pretty cool. How did you, I mean, going from sculpting with clay and trying to shape your your skill set into something that's more attainable or smaller spaces. How did we get from sculpting with clay to then resin casting?
So yeah, so that kind of went back to the idea of being able to create something once and then kind of like reproducing it, you know. So instead of, you know, spending 40 hours on a sculpt and just selling it as an individual, you know, one off, you know, I spend the 40 hours on a sculpt, but then I can do the casting and, you know, make 20 or 30 of them. Mm. And so it was kind of a, you know, because I always, you know, especially when I was doing the metalworking, you know, you spend all this time, you build one, you sell it, you know, for a price that, you know, people are willing to pay. And it's like, man, I just spent so much time and, you know, money. And, you know, usually it was just covering materials by that point. And so it was kind of a progression of, you know, how can you, you know, do some, you know, mass production, well, not mass production, but, you know, low volume production of a piece without having to, you know, this would be like create the one and then nope, now I gotta come up with a whole new creation. So it was more around the manufacturing, and again it kind of ties into my you know, thirst for knowledge to look how to do things differently. And so, you know, the castings, I've done countless molds over the last couple of years. And so, like, right now I'm working on a larger sculpt that will be kind of geared towards roto casting. So that's kind of my next skill set to, you know, brush up on, is to make something a little bit bigger and be able to roto cast it. So what's kind of nice with the metalworking is, you know, I'll probably end up building the roto caster and then applying it to the sculpture. So
that's crazy. It's crazy to think that like all previous skill sets go into forming the next skill set, because a rotocaster is not an easy build. It's two separate things moving it two separate ways.
It's funny because I was, you know, I'm not too afraid to just jump in, you know. There's you know, not afraid to fail, basically.
Yeah,
I'll keep going until it gets done. So, but yeah, no, it's been the it's actually a rat fink sculpture. I don't know if you can see it back here.
Awesome.
He's
a big guy.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 2.75 inch or 1/18 scale. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsoring Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10. Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
Yeah, he's one of the bigger ones. They, so it's really crude still, but yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So he's getting there, but you know, when I was doing all the mouse traps, that kind of took a back burner for a while. So
yeah.
But yeah, it was nice to be able to walk into a UPS store on Monday and be like, here you go. Here's the last of them.
Yeah. So. I mean, so that kind of takes us up to the Mickey Mouse in the art. Like, you take a break from shows and everything, which in that break, did you miss doing art? Did you miss, was it just like you just could not functionally do it, or what happened in that break?
It was a combination of things. I was in a job that was not going well. Did not like it at all. You know, it was very frustrating. But then I was doing these shows, and it was kind of the shows weren't doing well. And, you know, and I was paying for like bigger conventions, like those like 3-weekend, you know, like Comic-Con style shows. And, you know, it just sucks a whole weekend, you know, from basically Thursday night till Sunday night. And you're just, you know, you're there the whole time. And the, and so, yeah, I was just kind of in a place where I was like, oh man, this is not good. You know, between work and the hobby, it was, you know, I was just like, I need to take a step away. And so at the time I was also looking for a new job. So I was like, I got to get out of here. I'm like, this is no longer a good place to be. So I was fortunate enough to get a new role with the same company. And so much different environment, much better space. So I kind of took the year off just to focus on the new job. You know, it was, there was a lot of new things. You know, I was, you know, fortunate enough they gave me the offer. It gave me the ability to work from home instead of, you know, I was commuting, you know, an hour plus each day. So I'm able to work from home now. And so I kind of poured all that energy into learning the new role. You know, there was a lot of things going on there. So, so it was kind of a nice break. It was, you know, so yeah, I didn't touch a thing. I mean, like everything just went to stop.
Yeah.
But you know, at the beginning of this year, I was like, you know, messing around again, and you know, came back into the workshop. You know, I work out of a small corner in the basement here. Started messing around, and I was like, well, you know, I picked up the 3D scanner, which kind of kicked off, you know, messing around with the, because I'd had the Mickey Mouse already all sculpted in clay.
Yeah. And, from before, so when you stopped?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So it was before. Yeah. So I had actually made that sculpt before I had stopped. And so, yeah, it was just sitting on the shelf, you know. And so I kind of dusted it off, refined it a little bit. And then, I ran it through the scanner, got the digital image, and then took Nomad, did some touch-ups on it. And then, made a couple prints, and I was like, and that's kind of, where I kind of started back up again. And, that's when it all kind of spiraled out of control a little bit.
Yeah.
It's been good.
And then take me through the Mickey process. I mean, something that brings you back into the art world, it's gotta be a big project. And so you sculpt the, or you draw it. You start sculpting, it goes on the shelf, you come back. Was it the intention to come back with that one? I mean, what a good year to do it, right? Mickey's, a couple of his images are in the public domain now, and so it's like, we're not going to get sued for doing this. Maybe
there's a potential. It's a fine line, because it was so funny, because the video that, you know, kind of went viral on Instagram, you know, people are like, you're gonna get sued.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe. I was like, there's a chance. I mean, you know, I saw like Vandal, you know, got a cease and desist, you know, last month for his, you know, for his Mickey rendition. And I was like, oh, you know, if they send me something, we'll stop, you know.
Because
people are, you know, they talk about, you know, it's public domain. Well, it's Steamboat Willie's public domain.
Yeah.
Not Mickey Mouse. And it was a fun project. I was like, you know, it was something small kind of to get the gears moving again, you know, because I had already, you know, it was already sitting on the shelf. So it was, you know, it was about 80% complete. And so it was just a matter of, you know, taking some tweaks and, you know, so yeah, that's kind of how it all started back up again. And honestly, I wasn't expecting it to do what it did. I was expecting to sell a couple, you know, get some money to, you know, buy some more resin or, you know, whatever supplies I was looking at for at the time. And then it took off, and we just keep building upon it now.
You made the first ones, and they were on that trap, and the prototype back there was good. And then you started putting them on tile.
Yes.
Which was such a smart move. Like, it looks so clean to put it on tile.
Yes. Yeah. It kind of does a couple things. One, it hides the underbody of the castings. To be able to add like the fake blood around it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the video that, you know, kind of took off, was where I was using like a glue applicator and just kind of, you know, moving the blood around the body and kind of moving it. And it's always funny to see the comments. They're like, there's never that much blood in that mouse, you know. It was just funny.
Who cares? Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And yeah, the tile thing was, I was like, you know what? I was like, if I could find like a white subway tile, you know, to make it look like, you know, it was like, you know, somewhere in a kitchen or something.
Yeah.
And actually somebody had actually sent me a request. They actually wanted me to clear coat the whole thing because they actually wanted to put it as part of their bathroom.
Mm,
they were tiling that. Their bathroom.
Yuck.
I know. And I'm like, yeah, no. I was like, I'm not gonna do that. But they wanted to have it like in the corner, you know, as part of the decor. And I'm like, I'm gonna draw a line on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like, I'll send it to you in the tile and you can do whatever you want. But the tile, and it was funny. The white tile was the first one. And I'd always promised myself, I was like, I won't. Since I'm selling them as, you know, signed, you know, pieces, I'm not going to duplicate the same thing over and over, you know. Yeah. So I'll do a batch, and then once that's gone, it's gone. I'll do another version. So, you know, I did the ones I did the pre-order for, which I call it the monochrome version. So it was a black and white tile with a, you know, black and, you know, gray mouse. So similar vibe, no different than the traps. The traps is actually kind of a funny story. The larger one with the rat traps was when I built the first round and was going to make more.
Mm-hmm.
I was ordering off of Amazon and I wasn't paying attention to the pictures, or I was paying more attention to the pictures than the actual text. And I ordered a case of rat traps by accident. And, so I was like, man, what am I going to do with these rat traps? And I was like, you know what? Since it's all digital, you know, the mouse is in digital format, I can just scale it. So then that's why I decided to offer the larger ones and still do the tile ones. I like the tile ones because it's a nice, neat little package, but the larger ones have done really well too. So,
yeah, it's a crazy thing that, I mean, art has this way about it where a beloved Disney character like snapped in a trap. We're like, yeah, we need that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there was, yeah, there's, it's funny because I was at a show earlier this year and I didn't have time to make any traps for the show, but I had made some stickers that it was pretty much the same thing. And so I had the stickers and I have a couple other characters like Ghostface and like Freddy Krueger. And so I've done some like smaller like minis, and that's mainly why I was selling at the show. And this mom and daughter were, you know, looking through the table and everything. And the mom's talking to her, you know, about Ghostface and, you know, how, you know, it's a slasher and it's killing teenagers. And then she's talking about Freddy Krueger, and the daughter's probably like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then she comes across the sticker of the Mickey and the Trap. And the daughter was visibly upset. And I was like, so we went from like slasher flicks where the daughter was like, yeah, okay, that's cool and everything. And then she saw Mickey and the Trap. And I was like, oh man. I was like, you know, I was like, most people enjoyed it. But yeah, that was the first time I'd actually saw one. I was like, somebody was like, not a fan. But
yeah.
But no, it's funny how many people are like, yeah, this is cool.
It's like, yeah. It's just, it's such a crazy thought behind it. As you are continuing to make art, tell me about the Ghostface, the Freddies. I think you had little Godzillas as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about all those figures. Because They're like all little, oh, he's so good.
Yeah, he's like a little chibi Godzilla.
They're like all within the same size range.
Yes.
Which is awesome. That means you're like producing, painting, and able to like transport all of this.
Well, and that was the thing. So sometimes when I'm creating things around like logistics of having to go to a show.
Yeah.
And so unfortunately, all the little characters did not do that great. Mm-hmm. So I'd made a ton of them, you know, a couple of years ago. And so, and they sell okay, but yeah, so I did, I had a Godzilla, Gamera, Mothra, so those all did well because people relate really well to, you know, the Godzilla franchise. You know, I did like a horror show down in Lexington. And so like the Freddy's, Ghostface, those all did well. And so I was doing them all the same size. Mm-hmm. I was like roughly like just a little over 2 inches, you know, so something portable, you know, I could make a ton of them, put them in some small boxes. Because at the time I had a little hatchback. You know, so when I was going to these shows, it all had to fit in the hatchback. That was what I had. So I was kind of designing around, you know, portability. So, but yeah, I've done Godzilla, Ghostface, what else I got up there? Krampus. Actually, Krampus is probably one of my more favorite ones.
He's good. Like that it adds it adds a cuter spin on something that's real crazy.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was funny because, you know, we were watching a lot of Krampus movies, you know, and it's pretty dark. But I was like, I'll make kind of like a fun Krampus, if there's such a thing.
Yeah.
So
how funny. I mean, with all this stuff and moving back into art and doing all that, what's next? What's next for Mr. K Customs?
So right now I'm working on a larger version of the Mickey Mouse trap. So I got it's roughly probably the finished piece will be about 5 foot tall. So
Jesus.
Actually in the other room in our I picked up one of the large format 3D printers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's printing off in sections at a time right now. So I got that one going. I've always been a fan of like the zombie themes. Mm-hmm. So probably going to add a zombie theme to the mouse traps. It seems like I've kind of done a couple versions and people continue to, you know, basically collect. So I'll probably continue doing different styles, different versions of those, kind of in the background. One of the things I've been interested in for next year is trying to come up, still have the sculptural elements of everything that I do, but kind of like use it has more purpose or like use to it. Kind of almost like a, you know, like take like Krampus, you know, but do something like in like a ceramic, you know. So I was looking at like a slip casting.
Yeah.
And do more like a, you know, like a jar or a container or, you know, something more, you know, because one of the things that, you know, for me is I don't collect a lot of things, you know, and it's always interesting listening to the show and people talk about everything that they collect. I'm not a collector.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet.
Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures!
DKE!
You know, I typically, you know, I build and then I you know, sell it off, you know, and then, you know, that helps just allow me to continue to build. So, but yeah, I don't collect a lot of things. I've collected some stuff from like Slowpoor and Rainbow Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a couple things from them, a couple of their figures. But yeah, so I was like, you know, it'd be nice to have something that was more, had some functional value to it, you know? So that's something for possibly next year. Looking into doing some slip casting, because it's still sculpting. The casting's a little bit different. It's more plaster based. So yeah, it's kind of ties on to my never ending, you know, search for new skills and, you know, new technology. Well, not new awesome. Existing technology, but
if you go back to like the first couple episodes of Toys on Tap, whoever I interviewed, I can't remember, but I had said I don't really collect toys, and now look behind me. So
I know.
Yeah it goes crazy after a while. The 5-foot Mickey is insane. How that means you have to then, I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, if he's 5 foot and he goes on to a trap, that means you are building the trap.
Yeah, so the overall width trap will be 5 foot.
So you're building, doing metal work for like clamps and stuff too, right?
Yeah, so I'll have to do the metal work for, yeah, the all the metal parts. So yeah, because that was, you know, I've been kind of fortunate, you know, half of the process is just a store-bought trap, you know, but yeah, so I'll have to build a trap. And so the idea is going to be, you know, I'm kind of torn with just making it just like the big trap, you know, paint it up, you know, with just the reds and whatnot, and just make it look like the Victor trap. To actually, one of the ideas I've wanted to do was to do it like a big dollar bill, you know, so paint it up, you know, as a cartoonish looking dollar bill and have it under the trap. So there's a couple ideas out there that, you know, and who knows, maybe I'll do a couple versions, but this is the first time printing something in this scale. So, because everything has always been in the smaller sizes. So,
yeah, that's going to be so massive. And it like, whoever buys that one, they need to like go have some, we got to figure out what's wrong with that person. Because that's a 5-foot piece of Mickey dying. But yeah. I can't wait to see it. With all the stuff that you've got upcoming and all that, do you plan on going back to shows?
I'll probably at least for the next year, probably just do, there's a couple local shows that I do. I'll probably stick with that for now. What's been nice is, you know, having the rapid, you know, growth of the following, allows me just to sell online, you know? And that's just so much nicer than trucking to a show, you know, I think that was kind of what led to some of the burnout, was just show after show. And especially towards the end of that year, I was, you know, it's like every other weekend, you know, I'm packing up and heading somewhere in the Midwest, you know, going to hotels, and it got old, you know, and especially, you know, you go to the shows sometimes and, you know, unless it's something very specific, you know, some people are just, you know, they just walk by and, you know, move on. So yeah, it was a little rough, but yeah, I'll probably stick to the local shows here. You know, there's a couple guys that host a toy and comic show, and they're very, you know, vendor focused, as well as, you know, for the visitors too, but you know, they always take care of us and make sure that, you know, you don't go to a show and see us a bunch of different random vendors for like Gutter Guard and, you know,
right,
State Farm, and you know, just because they couldn't fill all the slots. So
right,
but yeah, so probably just keep those for now, and we'll see where it goes.
Holy moly, it is so good that you came on the podcast. Thank you so much for that.
No, I appreciate it.
the last part of the podcast, we got two things. We do, you plug everything, and then we have an episode of the Nitty Gritty, which goes on the Patreon, that every artist has a specific question, and I have yours and I'm ready for it. So I hope you are. But as we close out this, please plug everything, where they can get the next drop of Mickey's, where they can get all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So right now it's on Instagram at MrK.Customs. That's also has the link to my store, which is just MrKCustoms.com. So you'll see up there, you'll see the current batch of Mickey's. You'll see some of the resin minifigs. So you'll see a couple different things up there. Trying to think what else I have up there. Some stickers. I've done some of the flying eyeballs, as I call them. So yeah, so those are the two places to find me.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for coming on Toys on Tap.
Oh no, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.